faded away like the color in a blue sky at the end of the day. Night falls, and the search begins for a new Columbia House Party single. Jake, what's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Tired, buddy.
Yeah, I feel
tired.
That.
I mean, we're recording these a little in advance, so it won't, the context of why I'm so tired won't be immediately evident, but anyone who knows me will surely be able to place roughly when we're recording these.
You're pushing through, though. You're
me
pushing
falling
through.
Asleep in about 3 minutes.
Oh, buddy, as soon as we're done, it is nap time.
Oh, if only I believed in naps and were capable of napping.
If only Blake could relax for a single second.
No, my therapist told me, so like I did a sleep study a while back and I still haven't got my results, but my therapist, one of the things I've been trying to work through is like how much anxiety I have related to sleep. And one of the things she has suggested is like, I guess the science says don't nap because the important thing is to try to keep your nighttime rhythms and routines consistent, and a nap can disrupt that. So I've been right all along not to nap.
All right. Well, you know what? As I've always said, Blake's always right. So it works.
Yeah. And then one day I'll just burn out and you might say something beautiful died to pivot us.
It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Yes. But you missed the cauterized pun there. Come on. Something beautiful died. You didn't even listen to the song to prep for the episode.
Of course I listened to the song to prep for the episode.
And the music video in an airplane hangar or whatever.
As all music videos from this, or like not all, but like 65% of music videos from this era were in airplane hangars.
Yes.
I blame you too. It's U2's fault.
All right. This is your latest Columbia House Party single. As you know by now, the singles on Fridays allow us to either isolate discussion points from the main episodes or talk about something tangential to the main episodes, or if we're in the middle of a early 2000s, late 90s CanCon pop punk arc, talk about some lesser known or maybe lesser remembered Canadian acts from that same era that are not worthy of or just would not get the listenership for a full episode. We're going to get esoteric these next couple of singles as we weave through our CanCon arc on the main feed. If you are not a 30-year-old from Ontario, these next couple singles may not be for you, but we try it out. Today we're talking about Cauterize. Formed in Oshawa in 1995, they're originally called Take Off, eh? Or TOE.
Ugh. Well, that's bad. We got asked in a mailbag, like, what's the worst band name? And my answer was that they're all terrible. Like, there's no good band names, but right. That one's especially rough, I would say.
This is the thing. There are no good band names, but there are bad band names.
Yeah, that is very true.
So where Cauterize came from was that their second album under the name Take Off, eh, was called The Moment I Cauterize. I couldn't find information on why they changed their name, but my guess is that the McKenzie brothers own the trademark on Take Off, eh, for a lot of like merchandise related things.
Mm. Also, just like good for them for changing it.
Yes. The band didn't change much. If you go back and listen to some Take Off, eh, which, by the way, there's no vinyls, but the CDs are incredibly expensive on Discogs. So continuing the theme of if you find some cool esoteric stuff on Discogs, please let Jake and I know. They're basically the same band. They had a little bit of a like pre-Dude Ranch Blink sound to them because they were so like speed oriented on the drums and guitars. And then for their first album as Cauterize, they signed with Wind Up Records. They put together So Far From Real, their 2003 release, which included a lead single that had a more polished sound and especially a more polished vocal approach. That song, which had a music video and got plenty of much music play, was called Something Beautiful.
Only one.
So, Jake, your thoughts on Something Beautiful and on Cauterize's 2003 album So Far From Real?
I mean, I obviously think this song rules.
Fact.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend this song isn't awesome and isn't, while simultaneously being like everything that early 2000s pop punk got made fun of for being, which is maybe why I like it so much now. Like, it's just like the lyrically, musically, it's just like, oh yeah, this is definitely early 2000s pop punk.
So this is my theory with Cauterize. I think part of why they didn't have breakthrough success is what happened after this album, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think the biggest thing is you listen to this song, and really this whole album, I stand by this record kicking ass. I really liked it in high school. I listened to it this morning, and I still really like it. But I think, to your point about this is exactly what early 2000s pop punk sounds like, and there are these melodramatic lyrics like, take my heart if you like the beat, take my lungs if it's hard to breathe, or have you ever tried to scream underwater, you'll choke, or wake me when it's over, I don't feel much like crying tonight. I kind of feel like 2003 was maybe just a little late to the party for
yeah.
it. Like, at that yeah. point, it had already become a little bit of like if this album had come out in 2000 or 2001, it probably breaks through a little bit more. And in 2003, it might have just been at the tail end of the like, or I guess the very front end of the more of this question mark.
Yeah, and I think also, just jumping ahead here in your notes a little bit about who they toured with eventually, which would be Evanescence, 3 Days Grace, Hoobastank, and Mudmen. They don't feel like that kind of band to me, but to your point about when it came out, it makes sense to me that that's where they kind of ended up being slotted.
Yeah, like them being the opener for a bunch of alternative rock bands instead of pop punk bands.
Yeah.
Maybe dug them in to a certain place. So that actually, it's interesting what happened from there then. So they toured with bands like Evanescence and 3 Days Grace and Hoobastank. They had, on top of Something Beautiful, Choke and Killing Me were both singles on video games. There was a popular snowboarding game they were on. And they decided to, at the same time, lean into the kind of speed aspect that they had going for them by adding a third guitarist. And then they released Paper Wings in 2005 independently. And then they signed to Goldfinger's High 4 Records. So I kind of got the sense that they were going more of the, like, let's lean into being punk and we'll add a third guitar and we'll go with Goldfinger. And then their follow-ups just weren't that. They weren't very, like, they're off of that Paper Wings album. The lead single Closer was not very good. The singer went in more of a singy instead of shouting direction that just didn't suit him. They even tried to bring in Greg Norrie of Treble Charger and Sum 41 to kind of manage / produce. And then it ended up them breaking up in 2007. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I feel like, that's kind of the Goldfinger career trajectory as well, in that they kind of tried to switch things up from what was working. It very much did not work.
Except for the song Open Your Eyes. Open Your Eyes by Goldfinger is their one good, like, alt-rock song.
That album is rough yes. stuff.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that maybe was a common thread in bands of this era of like trying to go a little heavier, switch things up, whatever you want to call it, and then being like, oh, that's not gonna work. And then I know Goldfinger are back making music now, which I have not heard, but like being like, oh, this didn't work, let's call it quits, I guess.
All right, we're gonna talk about my connections with Cauterize and Jake's connections with Cauterize after this. All right, so this has come up on the podcast before, but I think it's maybe only come up on bonus episodes, so forgive me if I'm retelling this and you've heard it, but the first concert that I ever went to that was me and a friend driving into the big city from Cambridge. So this was not my first concert, but my first three concerts were Great Big Sea, Bare Naked Ladies and Bare Naked Ladies. They were family-friendly concerts that parents accompanied to. When Cauterize were touring with Hoobastank, they played the Opera House with Mudmen. My friend Jeff and I took his mom's car and drove into the city, got lost trying to find the Opera House, and saw Hoobastank and Cauterize. Now, we went for Hoobastank, and when we got there, we were just kind of standing around figuring out what you're supposed to do at a concert while you wait for the main act. And I was like, wait a second, I know this song. And then the next song came on. I was like, wait a second, this, like, Cauterize is opening for Hoobastank. I had no idea. We, all it said on the ticket was Hoobastank. We didn't know who was opening. I didn't even know at that point that, like, you look at the openers, like, I think I remember Sarah Harmer opened for Bare Naked Ladies, one of the shows I saw them at. But, like, I was just, like, too novice a concert goer to be looking at that kind of thing when I was so excited to drive into the city to see Hoobastank. So, nice surprise to get to see Cauterize. Jake, did you have any connection to them at all, or do you just like that one song?
Not really. I've been trying to figure this out through Google, in that I was positive they were on a Madden soundtrack, but apparently not. They were on 1080 Avalanche, which is a video snowboarding game that I don't think I ever played, but I'm like, I am positive I knew of them through a video game, but for the life of me, I can't find it on Google. Maybe I'm conflating them with another band.
This is the thing, is that every scene, I feel like, has a half dozen Cauterizes.
Yeah, and like I get them, and maybe I'm getting them in Cartel confused, who were in a Madden game. But other than this phantom video game that may or may not exist, or I have Mandela affected into my brain, I don't think I really ever had a connection with this band. I feel like, just being from Toronto and like being from Toronto in this era, I probably saw them open for people at some point without really knowing
almost
who they were.
Definitely.
But outside of that, I never really had like a deep connection with them. But they're, when you started mentioning them, whatever, a few weeks ago, it wasn't like a foreign sounding name to me. I was like, oh yeah, Cauterize, of course.
So, like I said, they were kind of one of my bands in high school, and I still think So Far From Real is a very good, if of its time, record. I do think they hold the weird distinction of, like, maybe being one of the only bands who has Wikipedia entries for their guitarist and drummer and not the lead vocalist. That lead vocalist, by the way, his name is Jesse. He produced an album for a Burlington band called Sydney that I really liked and is now like impossible.
Sorry.
You know Sydney?
I don't. My fiance definitely knows Sydney.
Oh.
She just gave me a very eye-rolly look. I forget the connection is exactly. You don't want me to talk about it, do you? I think you dated one of them. Cassie dated one of them. I don't know which one.
Well, I like Brent, them. Apparently. You can't find their music anymore because they named their band Sydney and it makes it impossible to find. But hopefully our friends at Black Box, the home of the OBGMs, might be able to help me out on where to find Sydney. Or maybe, hey, help Cassie out on where to find the guys.
No, Cassie can't find them again.
Yeah.
I'm doomed.
That's what I'm teasing you about, Jake. Come on. Keep up. All right, that's it for this Columbia House Party single. We'll be back next week with another, for this, as we continue this arc, another CanCon pop punk classic. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, buddy.
Fish.